Welcome to Hochoka Podcast.
Hello, Mitaki Epi, and welcome to Hochoka, here at the center of St. Joseph's Indian School's campus. I'm Scott Wooster, today's Hochoka host. We're glad you have joined our circle to hear Dr. Damian Costello, a Catholic theologian who specializes in indigenous spiritual traditions and serves as director of postgraduate studies at NAITS, an indigenous learning community. Damian was a Hochoka Season 1 guest, and we're very excited to have him return. He's with us in a three-part series that brings us fresh perspectives on Catholicism through an indigenous lens. Today, we discuss the indigenous way of giving thanks at the heart of America's Thanksgiving celebration. So welcome, Damian. It's good to have you back.
Hi, Scott. Good to be here.
In Hochoka. Almost everybody has heard of Squanto, who was an English-speaking Wampanoag Indian who's remembered every Thanksgiving as what they would say, a friend to the pilgrims, right? And there's a common story that I think we've all heard that we all know. Can you share that with us, just to refresh memory?
This is one of my strongest childhood memories when it comes to Native peoples. I had Squanto, Friend of the English, I think the name of the books was. And on the cover was a very sort of faux image of a Native person, right? Like not anything that's accurate about a particular tribe that's peering through the cornfield, I think, at these English people there and almost sort of like yearning for friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is that, you know, the English show up and they couldn't survive, and Squanto, out of the goodness of his heart, comes and teaches them how to farm, right? The story of him showing them how to put one fish with the seeds, with the corn, the bean, and the squash, to help grow their food, and helps them survive, and becomes this figure that just sort of blesses the pilgrims' settlement. And I can remember thinking, like, even back then, like, that is the dumbest story I've ever heard. It didn't make any sense. Where were all his people? Why was he just selflessly giving all this information and support to the settlers? And I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, you wanted to see behind the curtain a little bit. And I, as a kid, I didn't have that. I just thought that was a great common story, right? So tell us what the truth is, because that's not the truth. What really happened? What's Squanto's, what's his real story?
Well, his real story is the reason why he was able to speak English is that he was abducted as a slave and brought to Europe for about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little fuzzy because there's some accounts that have him being abducted twice, but it's most likely he was abducted once in 1514 by a lieutenant of John Smith from the Virginia Company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of Pocahontas fame.
Right.
And so Squanto and about 20 other Wampanoags were lured onto a ship, and, you know, for trading. Europeans had been trading there, this is 1614, for about a century. And so the Wampanoag people, other coastal peoples, were very familiar with interacting with European traders. But this time they were shackled and put below and taken to Europe. And so you can imagine that six weeks across the Atlantic, you know, and having never been in the ocean before, in the darkness, you know, seasickness, you're getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
You can think of the transatlantic slave trade in reverse. And so he's taken to Malaga, Spain, where he's sold at auction. And some Spanish friars, some priests, notice this, and they buy him in order to set him free. Now, the Spanish, a whole mixed bag, up and down. You know, we talked about that in the last episode. But there was a strong strain in the Spanish clergy that they were trying to do something about indigenous slavery, trying to right some wrongs. And so anyway, Squanto was freed. He spent perhaps as many as 2 or 3 years with them before making his way to England, where he connected with some merchants, convinced them that he would help them start their colony. He made it as far as Newfoundland, but didn't make it back to Massachusetts, where his people were from, had to go back to England, but finally in 1520 made it back to Massachusetts.
Okay. Yeah, and was so he was in Europe. By the way, I like the story I heard as a kid better. Makes me feel happier. But that's what the truth does to us sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. That's a sad truth, a depressing truth. He ends up in Europe, which is, you know, I mean, a foreign country, obviously, for him. That experience had to be, you can't even imagine, like you said, the ship and then ending up in Europe. And was it uncommon for Indians at that time to be in Europe? Or what did that look like in Europe for indigenous people to be from this country, to be there?
Not as uncommon as we tend to assume now. Mm-hmm. Native people found their way to Europe for a variety of reasons, whether they were abducted as slaves or some sort of unfree labor, or they were brought over as curiosities, or as even sort of like nobles. And one of the interesting connections is that he was in the same neighborhood in London where Pocahontas was at the same time. He may have interacted with her. But one of the other parts of the story that we don't know a lot about, or most people, is that the native slave trade was huge. We're just starting to appreciate that. Anywhere from 3 to 5 million people, natives, were enslaved during the colonial era. Now, most of them were not taken to Europe,
right?
But a number were. And so where he was destined in Spain, there were a lot of indigenous slaves working sugar plantations.
Okay. I did not know that. Yeah.
And so, but what makes Squanto unique is that he found his way back, right?
Right.
You can imagine how difficult that must have been to not just negotiate one new culture, but multiple. He had to figure out how to survive in Spain and then somehow find his way to London, where his best chance of getting back to Massachusetts was, and learned English in the process.
Right. And you and I talked about Black Elk in his trips over to Europe and coming back. This preceded that by 350 years, right?
Almost 200 years.
Almost 200
years. Almost 200
years.
Yeah. But there's some interesting parallels where Black Elk has his first sort of encounter with Christianity, Christian ideas, and sort of actively engages it as part of his spiritual journey in an unknown land, right? Black Elk was very clear that when he went overseas, like his old power had kind of abandoned him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was looking for the new ways in which the spirits would approach him. Mm-hmm. And so he saw that in part through different Christian spiritual ideas. And I think that also happened with Squanto. He was baptized Catholic by the friars. And the reason why we can be almost certain about this is that the Puritan English settler sources record that. And if there are anti-Catholic people on the planet, you're going to find them in New England at this time.
Okay.
Everything about their church and their spirituality is anti-Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
But they recorded that in their history of Squanto. And so I think that just like with Black Elk, this was a way for Squanto, his real name was Tisquantum, which is a spiritual mm-hmm. name. Tisquantum was one of the names of the spirit of the dead. And the spirit of the dead was, its portal was the waters where he had traveled under in the ship. So I think mm-hmm. this is a way in which Squanto continued to look for the spirits in a different context.
Okay. Where would he have been baptized?
In Spain.
In Spain, mm-hmm. right. Okay. So when Squanto returned to his homeland or to this country, Turtle Island, for the last time, when he made it back over here permanently, there was more tragedy that he encountered when he came back.
This is one of the saddest parts of the story. So if you can imagine being forcibly overseas for 7 years and struggling every day to get back, and when you return, what happened to Squanto is he found his entire community was gone. So mm-hmm. his village of Patuxet, just a year or two beforehand, it had been hit by a plague of some kind. We're not sure which one, but mortality rates of up to 90%.
Mm.
And the few survivors left that village and migrated to neighboring villages. So he got there, and all he saw were the abandoned lodges and bones scattered you know, his English companion said this was like a new Golgotha, Golgotha being where, you know, Christ was crucified. Mm-hmm. And so he's back. Everything that he had hoped for, you can imagine, is just gone. So Squanto doesn't give up. They go inland searching for survivors, for other people, part of the Wampanoag Confederacy, and eventually get to Massasoit's village, who is the regional chief. And the third tragedy is that Squanto becomes his prisoner, de facto prisoner. So Squanto no longer has relations, right, that have independent political power. He's also been dead for 7 years, and he reappears.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also with these strangers who have been treacherous and untrustworthy. And so Massasoit doesn't quite know what to do with him. So Squanto's taken into captivity, and for the rest of his life, he has to negotiate that unfreedom in his own community.
Mm-hmm. And he, I suppose to them, it seemed like he was a traitor, basically, but it's more complex than that.
So definitely more complex. And we have to sort of read between the lines from the stories we have, because the stories are just English stories. Mm-hmm. They're settler stories, right? And
right.
We know, Squanto, friend of the English, is not an accurate recording of what happened. So all the Wampanoag are trying to figure out, what do we do with these new people, the pilgrims who've settled in Patuxet,
mm-hmm.
in this village that was abandoned? And the Wampanoags, they're being oppressed is a strong word, but their neighbors, the Narragansett, are stronger than them. They haven't been affected by disease nearly as much, and they're sort of traditional rivals. They need allies. And so after about a year of sort of trying to figure out the pilgrims, they decide, well, we better take a chance and see if we can get some new allies, some mm-hmm. power in our situation. And so the first person they send is Samoset, who knows a little bit of English, who actually may not have been Wampanoag. He was probably Abenaki. And then they send Squanto, who can speak fluently.
Mm-hmm.
And so he becomes the broker between the Wampanoag and the pilgrims. And Squanto seems to be trying to carve out a new place for himself in this situation. He's trying to free himself from the prison that he's in, his captivity. He's trying to use the English to support sort of a new Wampanoag community. And he's playing both sides off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
But look, peering back into history, we don't have a clear view of all the details.
Right.
The English claim him and set him up as sort of the stereotypical native that has become one of them and mm-hmm. do anything for them. Understandably today, Wampanoags and other native peoples look at the image that's portrayed of Squanto and say, wow, this is like a Benedict Arnold, right? He sort of sold us out. But I think it's more complicated than that.
It is, because you have a guy who didn't have a choice about seemingly anything. But I think the important part for us is to look at Squanto and all the lessons that he has to teach. So why do you think it's important that we see him as a teacher?
I think it's essential to reclaim him as a witness to for us in our own sort of unprecedented, challenging times, right? I know it's mm-hmm. here at St. Joseph's Indian School and, you know, whatever communities we find ourselves in, we're trying to figure out how to do this in a better way.
Certainly.
We inherit the same world that Squanto inherited, right? These different worlds colliding, this very messy, tragic outcome. Squanto was really America's first global citizen, you might say,
mm-hmm.
right? That's one of the things we don't appreciate when we think about the pilgrims is like sort of very sophisticated people who are our exemplars and created everything we have. Squanto was much more traveled and educated with all the different cultures involved of what was creating our society at that time. And I think it's important to look at him as somebody who continually reinvented himself despite mm-hmm. all the different challenges, whether that was slavery, whether that was finding his way home, that whether that was dealing with the collapse of his home or dealing with his new imprisonment. There's a important example of resiliency there that I think we could take a lesson from.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And maybe understand him. I like what you said, is, and I said it at the beginning, mm-hmm. he's understood as the friend, right? And at the end you say, let's consider him the first global citizen, mm-hmm. which I really like. I think that's nice.
And I think that's a good lesson for us. You know, I think one of our human liabilities, maybe it's not always a liability, but our tendency is to look for the people who are on the right side of history, mm-hmm. right? Who had all the answers, who figured it all out, mm-hmm. you know, who were the ones who, you know, the first ones who fought against slavery, right? And never had any sort of questions or doubt about it. And I think it's more important for us to look at the people who face those challenges and embrace them and forged new ways in the face of them. Not that they were defined by some sort of idea or stance they took, but mm-hmm. that the way they lived, given the circumstances mm-hmm. they faced, they walked in a good way, the best way they could, given the challenges.
Mm-hmm. I like the way you view things, mm-hmm. Damien. So we have this romanticized version of Thanksgiving and actually a romanticized version of Squanto as well. What's the truth behind the interaction of the two of them?
So what did happen, what is accurate, is that there was a feast between or with the pilgrims and the Wampanoags, and Squanto was there, where they brought all sorts of gifts from the earth, right? They had hunted a lot of birds and deer, and their harvest was very good that year, and they ate together. And we remember that as our first Thanksgiving. The only issue is that that's not how pilgrims gave thanks. Traditionally, Puritans gave thanks by spending all day in church and with prayer and fasting, right? And so I think it's important to recognize that this is more of a Wampanoag style, a native style of giving thanks, mm-hmm. and that the tradition that we've inherited and practiced to this day is really modeled off of indigenous cultural mm-hmm. practices. And so I think it's an opportunity for us to rethink not necessarily what we do at Thanksgiving, but the story we tell about it. That, okay, we are here on Turtle Island. This is our land now, for better or worse. And to recognize that we're practicing something that was here before settler people got here. And by doing this, we can recognize all these different gifts that we receive from this land. And to recognize that the struggle of people like Squanto, who face this difficult situation, can inspire us to do better today.
Mm-hmm. Once again, Damien, thank you for being here at the Ho-Choka, at the center of St. Joseph's Indian School campus, where we talk about issues central to Native American education today. Until next time, stay centered.